Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
I like it that the male version of Spanx are released today off of Bridget Jones. I've already been sent some and Mezzan.
What are they? Hold in.
Those things that hold you in. The Hoff wears them.
Does he?
Well, if they've released...
Okay, right. How do you know that the Hoff wears control pants?
Because he might have... Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No,
He told me.
He might have what? Left them in the bathroom?
No, they're not. They're not the Hoffs. These are new ones that I've been sent. I know because they're in the packet all new with cellophane around. So I know that these haven't been worn before. So I'm looking forward to that later. It's ridiculous. Like, the thing you have to squeeze into is ridiculous. No wonder it makes you look thinner.
Doesn't it just go all over the top?
It's just like a really small T-shirt, but it makes you look like you've got abs. Amazing.
I thought it was pants.
No,
it's
just a top bit.
You've asked for a T-shirt that makes you look like you've got abs.
I haven't asked for it. Someone kindly has sent me it.
So what are they saying about you, though?
I'd be offended
if I got that.
No, I'm all fine for it. And also, you know, we said yesterday that Carol off of EastEnders was inappropriately having it off in the kitchen. Everyone's had it now. If you look at page 21 of The Sun today, there's two revellers, as they put it, almost starkers. I love that word.
You're using newspaper words again.
That's one of those 70s words that we need to bring back.
Like blue.
Like blue humour.
Yeah.
Starkers, almost. And there they are, not realising that people can see them in the large plate glass window, in the main restaurant bit of Pizza Express, one of the branches in Manchester, clearly having it off just a couple of nights ago to stunned passers-by. Starkers they were, almost.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Oh, these hold-in pants and T-shirt combo things were on The Apprentice last night. I missed it.
Oh, the T-shirt.
The hold-in thing.
Yes, and they it came when they brought it in to kind of model it. It was on this really skinny guy anyway. So I was like, they should have got one of the people who were on The Apprentice to model it so that it showed how much it sucked you in, but I don't.
All right. Was it a good one last night?
Yes, I think who went deserved to go.
Oh,
see,
okay.
That was good. I didn't do a spoiler.
Yeah, I know. That would have been properly going off on the text otherwise. Mm. And I have recorded it to watch later.
It is a good one. Not as good as the sausage one, because there was loads of innuendo in
that. That was good.
But, it was good. It's the one where they have to sell all the products to the department stores and see who makes the most money.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it later. I hope you're right. It's 6:48. Hello?
Hello, Scott.
Hello, who's this?
It's Damo from Cricklade.
Cricklade off of Wiltshire?
Cricklade off of actual Wiltshire.
Ah, I used to work near there.
Did you?
Yeah, Wootton Bassett.
Oh, that's just down the road.
I know. How can I help?
Well, me and my mate Gary went to see Kings of Leon last night and they were awesome.
Tell me all about it, please.
Gary won the tickets and he phones me up at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon and says, what are you doing this afternoon? And I said, I'm at work, obviously. And he says, well, get off work and come to London with me because we're going to see Kings of Leon. So, as you can imagine, I was pretty pleased.
So, where did Gary get the tickets?
Off of the website.
Amazing.
Amazing indeed.
Right, so talk me through the whole thing. What happened?
Well, so, I travelled down to London. I didn't even have time to get changed. We drove in, we parked up, found a nice little pub just around the corner from the Ravelli Ballroom. And then we queued up, got our wristbands, went in. Zane warmed up the crowd with an amazing set of mixed tunes.
He's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant. And then, obviously, Kings of Leon came on, and it was a bit of a blur after that. Not that we were drinking, it was just, the atmosphere was just superb. We were second row from the front.
Wow.
Caleb was about 10 metres, if that, away from us. It was amazing.
Wow.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
Paul off Aberdeen's been on saying, man up, Mills, stop playing music, and man up. What?
No, he's saying that he thinks you're playing music as an excuse because you've got your angry tiredness.
I always play two songs at 7 o'clock. Anyway, there is some...
Man up, Mills!
...which I need to tell you about. Not one in particular. Like, yesterday's one was getting my injections for my trip that I'm going on soon, which gave me, like, a million dead arms in one. That was yesterday's Man Up, Mills.
Man up, Mills!
And the original was because you were scared of a vegetable.
Man up, Mills!
Now today, well, there's loads of stuff that happened to me that will tell that you will tell me to man up about. First up, I called my mum yesterday because I wanted to know how to do poached eggs. That's hard, poached eggs.
No,
I can
it's
scramble.
Not. No, poached eggs isn't hard. Just get one of those. I've got these amazing.
No, I know how to do it now. She told me.
What, do you do it all posh with the, like, vinegar and kind of making a thingy?
Tried.
Did you?
Didn't
I can
work.
Never do it like that. Just buy those little plastic things you get in the supermarket. They're like little pouches, and you put a little bit of butter in and then put the egg in, and then ding, 7 minutes later, perfect egg.
Anyway, I couldn't do that.
Man up, Mills.
Also, I took a scented candle back to the shop yesterday because it was unsatisfactory.
What do you mean?
It was supposed to smell of vanilla.
Just, what did it smell of?
It's not vanilla enough. It's vanilla, but it's not enough vanilla, so...
Man up, Mills!
Also,
that's a bad one.
Yesterday I downloaded an app on my phone which plays the noise of lapping waves on a beach to help me sleep because I've got the angry tiredness. That didn't work either.
Man up, Mills!
And also yesterday, this is the best one, had a full-scale angry investigation into exactly who in my house, while I was away last week on holiday, has broken my Henry the Hoover. Because it's not working anymore. He's still smiling. He doesn't look sad. But I've got a sad face. Because you turn him on, it doesn't work. And people in my house, from the cleaner to my flatmate, are shifting the blame between them.
Man up, Mills.
It's 7:14 on BBC Radio 1.
Can I just ask, what did the shop assistant say when you took the vanilla candle back and tried to explain that it didn't smell strongly enough?
Swapped it.
Oh.
No questions asked.
Oh, right. I thought they'd have laughed in your face.
If you've got a scented candle that isn't vanilla enough, I think I probably did it in quite an angry way as well yesterday. And just take it back. They will probably swap it.
Radio 1.
Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1 podcast.
What have you been saying this week? Let's find out on Dear Scott.
Dear Scott, Becky and the rest. This one is for Becky, really. I was just wondering if you had any special banner/poster requests. Just to make you look a little more popular at the light switch on, I thought that I would put the effort in and make you a poster, smiley. So just say what you wanted to say and the colours and stuff, and I'll see you on the 24th. Love you, Beth in Devon.
November 24th, Becky is switching on the Christmas lights in Bridgewater, a campaign we've been going for in the afternoon, and it's worked out, it's all happening. What do you want on the posters?
I think posters might be... I really like the offer, but I don't think I want any posters because it's just going to attract attention, isn't it?
And you'd hate that.
Mm. Well, no, I would. I don't like... What do you think it should say on it? And don't say golf sale with an arrow pointing down.
I don't know. Just like, go Becky or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Merry Christmas, Becky. Something like that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Do you want a picture of you on it?
Yeah. You want a couple of banners, though, definitely. Just to make it look like people care.
Yeah. But not so much it looks like a protest.
No.
Because that would be really bad and I wouldn't get any more bookings.
You don't want people burning effigies of you in Bridgewater.
No.
Next.
Dear Scott, I live in Dubai, so I can't listen to your shows live, but your podcast keeps me sane on my daily commute to Abu Dhabi. I heard you talking about Cake Gate in the Mexican restaurant in Dubai last week. Maya?
Maya? My he, my oh, my ah. What am I supposed to say to that?
Cake Gate.
I know about Cake Gate, but what's my at the end?
I don't know.
And would like to offer my assistance in making reparations to Joan. She probably had to pay for the cake out of her wages. So if you like, I could pop down there as your Dubai representative and reimburse her for you. Smiley. Love from Sarah.
It was someone's birthday while I was in Dubai and I asked the restaurant to provide a cake, which they willingly did. And then I got a text from Joan, who works at the restaurant in Dubai, saying that she forgot to punch the cake. I didn't know what that meant, so I didn't reply and then fled the country. But I'm thinking that maybe it was that I didn't pay for the cake. So this is someone in Dubai who is prepared to go and sort out my mess for me. That is brilliant. I don't really want to say the name of the restaurant on there because that will implicate me further. But maybe I'll send you an email back. Thanks for your help. Next!
Hello, Scott, Becky, TOTDS, and PR4L. I am one of the people who puts your podcast on to help me get to sleep. And after doing this for about 1 year, so far I can tell you, it does not work. You are too funny, and I'm not getting any sleep. But I can't sleep without listening to your podcast. How weird. Love you. You complete me. High five. Harley, 12, Harrogate. Lots of X's. P.S. Love to Tina.
Tina. Oh, that'll be Tina, who's normally on this show. Mm. Oh, that's nice. A lot of people do find that our podcast really works as a sleep aid. But honestly, maybe you're just immune to it. You've been listening for too long.
I like the way he's kept going, though. Like, for a year.
Trying.
Before he's given up. That's really good persistence.
Just listen to it at a different time of day. But it does work for a lot of people. As soon as our podcast is on, they are off. Next.
Dear Scott, I have a great Russell Howard question for you.
Cool.
Is it true you once tried to set your backside hair on fire? Viv XX.
Thanks for that, Viv. That is one of the questions for Russell Howard that we don't have on our list. Can we write that down, Chris? Yeah, cheers. Nice.
Can we start with that one?
Should we start with that one?
Yeah. And can we get the Posh Radio 4 lady to read it to him? Just that bit.
All right, so that'll be our opening question to Russell Howard when he comes in at 8:30.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Now, I was saying about this to somebody yesterday, okay, and I have a friend who actually pretends that he is fluent in Greek.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. I'm not going to say his name. He won't be up now anyway. He's one of those people that just stays up all night.
It's not my boyfriend, is it?
No. No, he is actually Greek.
Yeah, but sometimes he says it. Sometimes he pretends he knows more than he does.
Oh,
I think
right.
He can just say, I love you, and like count to 10 or something.
This is the same friend who also says he has 13 middle names. But when you question him on what the names are, they change every time. Like, there's a couple that are the same, but then the rest is like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, right, okay, actually, I'm not going to question you on this, but I remember that they are different to the ones you told me before.
Is he a bit like Jay from The Inbetweeners?
Well, yes. This is what I'm moving on to. Also, he has got a pop star alter ego, because he did one of those things, you know, where you can go into a studio and you can pay for a day to like, make a demo? And that he instantly thought that made him a pop star, so he developed a pop star name. But this name only exists on his Boots Advantage card, nowhere else. So his pop star name is on his Boots card, so he feels like a pop star when he's getting the money off at Boots. Nowhere else. No credit cards. Doesn't exist. And I was telling someone else about my mate last night, and he was saying there's a website for this now, which we've been having a look at, haven't we? Where people submit their stories of things that their mates say. A bit like Jay from Inbetweeners. I think that's the reason this has gone so massive. Because everybody knows someone like that who just talks absolute nonsense, but you kind of don't question them on it.
What, you know it's not true, but you don't say anything?
Well,
do you believe it?
No, I don't believe it at all. I remember, I was thinking about this a bit more, I remember there was a girl at school who said her dad had a Lamborghini and that they had a holiday mansion in America, but the rest of the time they just chose to live on their estate in Eastleigh. You know, even when you're 11, you're thinking, really?
Mm.
And then, what was it? Her dad, I think, set up Rolex, the company. And also her dad wrote a song for Michael Jackson. But when you asked her, she couldn't quite remember which one it was. Like, she'd lied about absolutely everything. And it was when we were about 11 or 12. Have you got any?
I'm trying to think. There was a person who worked here that had all the famous people's numbers in their phone. Do you remember? And we didn't think they were. And then I've worked out what had been happening. And it was that they put their own number in. Because they kept getting texts from, like, famous people. And they put their own number in and were texting themselves.
Yes!
Because do you remember? Because then I did it, pretending that I had Justin Lee Collins' phone number. And text myself. And then I got loads of texts from Justin Lee Collins. And then do you remember ages ago, that came back to bite me? Because about 6 months later, we were trying to do prank calls. And you were like, have you got any famous people's numbers? I was like, oh, yeah, I've got Justin Lee Collins. And then you rang it, and it rang me. I was like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Oops. Hello?
Hello.
Right, so you know someone like this, don't you?
I do.
Okay, what do they do?
They claimed to me the other day that their dad invented cling film.
Right. He might have done.
It's highly unlikely. Some of the stuff he comes out of is outrageous.
Is he a bit like Jay off Inbetweeners?
He is exactly the same.
You know, like, it's not that unbelievable that he may have invented... Actually, it is, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Cling film's quite a big thing to invent, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's... It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
What I don't get about these people is that some of the things that they say aren't even that impressive. Like, there was one girl, she said her friend once told her she ate a whole lettuce.
So?
And it's like, that. Why would you even make that up?
I like the bloke who said that his uncle invented Nike swooshes, though. That's quite a good one.
Well, he might have done. This is the thing. These are all things that they might have done.
Probably not.
I like the person who saw Whitney Houston at the drive-thru.
That is good. I like it when it's people they've seen as well. It's 7.48 on Radio 1. The Diary of a Radio 1 DJ is coming up. What was it like back in those heady days of the 1980s? Was it all girls and big cars and silk trees and sunken baths and China Dalmatians in your house? Well, so far this week it appears so, yes.
The Diary of a Radio 1 DJ. Have you ever wondered what life is really like when you're a top disc jockey? Is it all one long party where you get paid for playing your own records? This diary gives you the truth. The real story behind the bright lights and big cars is one of hard work and determination. The Diary of a Radio 1 DJ.
7.52 on Radio 1 on Thursday morning. What was it like all those years ago being a Radio 1 DJ? So far, I think we'll all agree, it was brilliant. So this is from the book that Becky found online and bought for 1p. With a bit of postage and packing thrown in to push the price up a bit. So it's day 4 of Bruno Brooks' diary. When was this written, do you think?
I think it's in the late 80s.
Late 80s, okay. So we're just seeing what it was like to be a Radio 1 DJ back then. Here's Bruno's day today.
The day is grey and damp, but thankfully not wet. There's a busy schedule ahead. After a few hours at Radio 1, he's due at Wembley Stadium for the International Ladies Hockey Final. Bruno's job is to warm up the crowd and lead the crowd singing before the match. And straight after that, he'll dash to the BBC Centre at Shepherd's Bush to record Top of the Pops.
Oh, wow.
See, this is really similar to what you do, isn't it?
Never done Wembley.
Have you not?
No.
Didn't Chappers used to do this sort of thing?
Oh, he used to do...
Didn't he used to get time off the show to go and warm up crowds at the cricket?
Actually, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like the half-time entertainment with the mascot and stuff.
Yeah, he was.
Weird.
So Chappers is like Bruno Brooks.
Mm.
And then you used to do Top of the Pops?
Yeah. Okay, that's quite similar.
Bruno gets up at his usual time, around 10 a.m. He dresses suitably in blue jeans with huge designer patches and a bright baggy sweater made up of large squares of green and violet, with one yellow sleeve and one red.
He's
got a patchwork quilt on.
That is wacky, he has.
The logo on the patches and the sweatshirt reads Poco Loco, translated a little mad. Does he realise what it says? But it is colourful and just the right gear to stand out in the huge Wembley ground.
Oh, I want a Poco Loco patchwork quilt top.
Those sort of clothes on DJs was really popular in the 80s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the big Obla DJ jackets and stuff like that make you look about 6 stone heavier than you are.
Yeah, there was a DJ I used to work with at a station in Bristol.
I know this one.
Not that. Actually, he also had them, but not the one you're thinking of.
Oh.
Who had, like, I used to call them a local radio jacket, and he used to have them in every single shade of, like, pastel colours.
Oh, beautiful. Nice.
He quickly checks through some fan letters for his show, fills his battered brown satchel with them and a couple of magazines, and drives into Radio 1.
Still carrying his letters around, isn't he?
50,000 schoolgirls from all over the country turn up for this exciting final, and it's up to Bruno to get them in the right mood. Bruno has done this gig for the last 3 years. He's chosen and is delighted to do it because the spectators are exactly the same age group as his own fans, under 18s.
Okay, good.
How old are your fans?
There are some under 18s, I think. And lots of young people. As it was back in the day, nothing's changed. There's a few truckers and stuff who might be over 40, but that probably used to happen to Bruno also.
Lunch is taken in the banqueting hall in the Wembley Arena with the organisers. A friendly, low-key affair, not quite as grand as it sounds. They tuck into pâté, chicken fricassee and fresh fruit salad.
What's chicken fricassee, please?
No idea.
Is that like one of those exclusive 80s dishes that my mum used to do, along with beef bourguignon?
And what's that?
I know, I don't know. What was the other one she used to do?
Prawn cocktail?
Chicken chasseur, that was the other one.
Do you know what it is? It's when people have thought, oh, that's French, that's posh, let's have a bit of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
As Bruno finishes his meal, a waitress, probably in her 40s, comes up to offer coffee. You look nicer than on television, she says.
Does that ever happen to you?
No.
Women in their 40s come up to you.
Oh, yeah, but they never say you look nicer than on television.
Time for Bruno to go on and do his bit. Over the tannoy, his name is being announced. The crowd cheer, and as he runs out onto the pitch, a huge collective scream goes up. As he climbs the few steps to the podium in the centre, the yells continue.
Whoa, this is exciting.
He introduces himself to the crowd and immediately starts to involve them. He divides them into four parts, a trick he uses at all his gigs, getting each to shout in turn. He decides the B-side is definitely the loudest.
Do you know what, that bit about the cheering and all that sort of stuff, when you come on as you do make your entrance, that's exactly like it was on the lottery last night with you. As you come on, the crowd go wild.
Actually, they were cheering a lot, I noticed, last night on the lottery.
That's all because of you.
They'll cheer at everything. Even when the numbers get revealed, they clap and whoop.
Do you split people into sections at your gigs? Everybody on the left, do this.
No.
Everybody on the right, do you do it with the lottery audience?
No, not so much.
The job is done. Bruno goes into the red room, where there's a bottle of champagne and sandwiches awaiting him.
Whoa.
He changes into a blue sweater and jeans and returns to his car. In the back, he has yet another change of clothes for his TV appearance later in the afternoon.
Wow, I can't wait to see what monstrosity that'll be.
All he does is eat. I love it.
He eats and gets changed a lot.
Whilst lugging fan mail around.
In his brown battered satchel. Right, we need to out this person, Jamie in Wrexham. Don't be using this as just an outlet for your completely rubbish jokes. I invented Tippex. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That needed to be said.
Yeah.
You can't just let him get away with that.
You can't just not say his name for that. It's really bad. Carla in Swansea. It's quite possible your friend is Rihanna's cousin.
Oh, that's sweet, though. There's no name on this one. She says, I'm 15. My granddad still insists he invented carrots.
Joe! Right, Joe.
Hi.
You right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
What's your one?
I used to work behind a bar in a hotel, and the guy that did the washing up in the kitchen said his dad owned JCB and his mum was Tony from Tony and Guy.
I thought Tony's a man, though, isn't it?
Tony is a man.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Tony, I thought it was short for Tony.
Yeah,
Anthony.
That's what I said, and he got a bit stumbly, and it was never mentioned again.
JCB thing's possible, though.
I thought I was American.
Oh. Give me a high five for that, please. Love you.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, she's one of our listeners. She was on Oh What's Occurring in the afternoon. You absolutely loved her. Her name is Sabina. Tiny Temper's her biggest fan.
There was a time when I really, really wanted to sort of like invade your show. There was
a certain period
of my life when I wanted to invade for a good reason.
Yeah.
It was when he was doing What's Occurring, and there was this one particular young lady who was on the show for like 3 days in a row. She wasn't even getting it right, but she was so amazing. She had the best voice ever.
Listen to this.
Listen, Sabina, I'm like your biggest fan, man.
Oh my God.
Like, you're crazy. Like,
that's so cool.
I love you, man.
Love Sabina, Tiny Temper.
And he really wanted her to do prank calls, didn't he?
He did. So we thought, let's do it. Earlier in the week, Sabina's Lady Gaga game went brilliantly. These are all our own ideas, remember? We haven't fed any of these to her. She's just deciding what she's doing as she goes along. So Sabina came in while I was off, and she decided to call Gemma, who works in our office upstairs, pretending to be Joe McKeldry. And you didn't give her this idea, no?
No.
Okay. There's no game on this one. She just rings up as Joe McKeldry and sees what
just
happens.
She's doing her impression of him.
Hello, Radio 1.
Hello. Hi, it's Joe here. Joe McKeldry? Who do I need to speak to get my song played a bit more? I haven't heard it very much. You know, my song Ambitions?
Right, okay.
It's really good. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I love my new song too. I'm glad you like it. Yes. Who do I need to speak to get it played a bit more? You know, it hasn't had much airtime.
I think that'd be someone in the music playlist team. It's not really.
Could you put me through to them, please?
I can't. I'm afraid of better to ring back with
them. I'll do anything. Oh, they want my song played more. It's only number 6.
Sorry,
so
there's nothing I can do.
Oh, I'll make you so much tea.
Oh, okay. So that's bye, Gemma. Maybe we should get more listeners to do these. I think.
I love them.
Was she doing a Joe McKeldry voice there, or?
I've forgotten how he sounds. You know, he's Geordie, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was an impression.
Okay, next call.
Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, it's Jo again. I know that you like my song, thank you. But I was just wondering, does everybody else in the Radio 1 studio like my song? Do you think you just do, you know, a quick survey?
Do you want me to ask for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can anyone tell me what they think of Joe McKeldry's song?
It's called Ambitions.
It's called Ambition. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, we've got one vote for it here.
Oh, yeah.
Neil, how about you? Are you a fan of Joe McKeldry's song? We've got one, it's okay.
Yeah, that's good. That means
he might just need to listen to it some more, maybe.
Could I speak to him, please? Tell him it's Joe.
Joe McKeldry's on the phone. Oh, he's just walked out the office, I'm afraid.
Could you tell him that he needs to listen to my song in
full?
I
will do that.
The first bit's a bit dull, but the chorus is amazing.
You think the first bit of your song's a bit dull?
No.
That's not really a way to sell it, is it?
No, I like it, really. I love it. Oh, no. Thanks for asking, anyway.
That's all right.
Next album will be amazing, just to let you know. You can tell me I'll go back, too.
I will do.
Okay,
all right,
cool.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's so sweet. Did Gemma not at any point realise that was not Joe McKeldry? I don't know. Go, Sabina.
Should we get to do some more, do you think, or maybe move on?
Did she do any more? Or is that it?
I think she did. I think that was...
That's pretty much it, is it?
Of the ones we can play, the others were a bit blue.
Well... Well, let's leave it for now, shall we? Good morning, Greg James!
Good morning, Greg James!
Hello?
Try and do a bigger one than that.
Go on, I'll give you a bit of echo. Hang on. Okay, and go! That's quite a good one.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm well.
Are you in bed?
I'm not actually. I'm on the way in to do some stuff into town.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you like the guy on the Diary of a Radio 1 DJ? Like you've got loads of stuff to do, like not just the radio show.
Well, there's a few bits. I'm a bit like that. No, there's just a few extra bits to do today, that's all.
Okay, cool.
Get up and about nice and early.
Tell me about where you were last night, please.
I was at this incredible Kings of Leon gig last night in deepest, darkest South London, innit, mate?
I saw a tweet from Nick Grimshaw last night, and he was going, I didn't realise this thing was so far away. I think I'm in France.
Yeah, it is quite far away. My sister lives quite near there, I've realised, though. And, It was amazing, this ballroom that it was at last night. Incredible. It was an amazing, amazing venue. They will never play anything that small for many, many years, I imagine.
Right. So this is exclusive for Radio 1. You can hear it all tonight from 7 p.m. In fact, the whole evening is given over to one of the greatest, biggest rock bands in the world, Kings of Leon. So tell me all about it, please.
Okay, so if you're a massive Kings of Leon fan, you will just love it anyway, because tonight is a documentary, there's an interview with Zayn, and the gig is on from 8 o'clock, I believe, this evening. You'll hear that as it was live last night, and you can watch it on the website as well at the same time. It's quite clever, isn't it? They're putting the video on at the same time as the radio show.
Are they?
Yeah.
God.
At 8 o'clock later. So there's loads of their new stuff, if you're a new Kings of Leon fan, and if you are an old school one from the early days, there's a couple of good old classic back to do as well, which is really good.
What were your thoughts on the new stuff?
Well, I haven't given the new album as much of a listen as I wanted to, so people weren't really singing along that much to the new stuff, even though there were mega fans there of the new songs. But it was it just sounds so massive and sort of stadium epic rock anthems now, isn't it, with them? But it was really, really good. Very, and some nice old ones that they did as well. And
okay.
the people there were so excited, as you can imagine.
Yeah. We spoke to somebody called Damo just after 6:30 this morning. He was up and about already, and he said it was like the best night of his life.
It was unbelievable. I was stood there. You're about sort of 10 to 20 foot away from Caleb, and you just think, how are they here? Are they really there?
Yeah.
They were so close, especially the people at the front who got to the front and started moshing and all that. You just think, what? How the hell are Kings of Leon actually in this place? It was magic. It was magic.
Magic. Also, as a little taster for what you can expect tonight on Radio 1, from 9:30 this morning, I'm going to play, from last night's gig, 30 minutes of it, of Kings of Leon. It's 9:30 this morning. That's good, isn't it?
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, can you tell me what tracks you're playing?
I could, but then I think that might spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if you say one, I'll tell you if we've got it or not.
They started off with Radioactive.
Got.
And it was brilliant.
Okay, if you do it, and I'll do like got.
Okay.
Not got.
Radioactive.
Got.
Black Thumbnail.
Not got.
Okay.
This might get a bit boring after a while.
Yeah, it might.
There's some big classics in there as well.
Sex Good. On Fire.
I've got Sex on Fire here. Look.
Cool. You yeah. Somebody.
Yeah, got.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they did do a load more new stuff and old stuff, but I suppose they're going to because that was in the past.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
But, okay.
It was a great, great gig, and his voice live is faultless, really.
Fantastic. All right, 9:30 this morning, 1 hour from now, you will get Kings of Leon on Radio 1. Thank you, Greg!
Thank you!
Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Here he is. Hi, Russell.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I quite enjoyed that song.
Do you like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I was getting into the mood of that. It's a lovely wake-up song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Webcam viewers can watch us now at bbc.co.uk/radio1 if you want to see Russell Howard. I've got to start with this question because we agreed this earlier from right. One of our listeners.
Okay. Is it true you once tried to set your backside hair on fire?
Well, there you go.
Viv XX.
I think that's a good opener.
Wow. Well, there we go. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
It is true. Yeah.
Right.
And why? Why is a very good question, Scott. I was very bored and I was in New Zealand and...
They go hand in hand.
Well, yeah. So it was a really... I was so bored. And, yeah.
And that's it.
That is it. I should really have gone bungee jumping, to be honest.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that sort of thing.
No.
No, you should never do that, yeah.
No. And what... what were the consequences?
What were the consequences? I pulled quite the funny face, and my friend said, yeah, that's a mistake, isn't it? And I went, yeah.
Good.
But I was, you know, without getting into too much detail, I'm one of those unfortunate men, I don't know if I can talk, there's the people eating their breakfast.
It's fine.
But I'm quite hairy, so I thought I'll remove this hair, and yeah, it was an error.
Yeah.
There's better ways of removing it.
Absolutely.
How on earth does Viv know about this?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Do you know what happens? Sometimes at gigs, at the end of gigs, I do like Q&As and I sort of, you know, they're all quite good fun. We chat away. And I just forget that this information then goes out and people are obviously leaving the gig going,
yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, people remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll talk about your new tour in a minute, but you've got Series 3 of Good News starting, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which is your show on BBC Three.
That's right.
Where you probably have to watch... days and days of rolling news.
Absolutely loads, yeah. Loads and loads. Just filter.
That's a lot of Kay Burley, isn't it?
It's a hell of a lot of Kay Burley, yeah. She asked some pretty interesting questions.
Yeah. So it's BBC News 24, Sky News, everything.
Everything, yeah. Just saturate ourselves, really, and see... because it's half the stuff is about how the media presents stories, rather than just the stories themselves, you know?
Yeah. We were saying we had Take That In yesterday.
Yes.
And you did spot a really good one in the Mail.
Well, it was all... The Mail really... The Mail's an extraordinary paper for that they said, is Robbie too old? Because he had grey hair and they suggested that he couldn't tour anymore. But then they had, last week, they had a story about... Could you see the story about Kanye West, diamond teeth?
No.
Kanye West, his bottom teeth, he's now diamonds. And they were having a go at him, saying, in these troubled times... Should he really be getting diamond teeth? I'm not so sure Kanye West knows about the British economy.
No,
you know,
not.
House prices are going down. What the hell is he playing at? But my first thought was his tooth fairy. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, he said, God damn.
Do you think it's possible that some people only get their news from you? Because you're on Mock the Week, you're on Have I Got News For You, sometimes you're on Good News.
Yeah.
Maybe some people, like, you're their news filter.
You'd hope not, but yeah. Some people... It's quite weird sometimes in the studio when people genuinely have no concept of who people are. It's kind of worrying, you know. But,
right.
You know, most people are more clever than that, I thought.
Who are your favourite characters in the world of celebrity at the moment?
Who's my favourite characters? I don't know, really. I find them all fairly deplorable. Who do I like? I quite like... everyone likes that. What's the geezer with a cap on X Factor? He's all right.
Matt Cardell.
Yeah, he's quite nice.
You like him?
Yeah, I quite like... I like Wagner. I think he's all right. Just... I like the fact he used to be a PE teacher. That's my...
Did he?
Yeah, that's what he used to be.
I thought I heard he was a lion tamer. He was someone having me on?
That was in an advert. He pulled a lion's tail. But I quite like him for that. Just I think it's like quite funny about, you know, quite a fat old man singing on telly and they're desperately trying to make him into a character.
I know.
He kind of isn't.
No, not at all.
It's almost like they're all pretty rubbish this year and they're desperately trying to create a PR story.
It's a bit like that. When, do you remember when Chico was on? It's like, oh, he used to be a goat herder.
Did he?
Apparently so. It was the similar kind of thing. He's the shears, isn't he, really?
But, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not really into sort of celebs as such, you know? I prefer interesting people.
How are you...
Quite like Brian Cox, but he's not really celebby, is he?
Not really, no. Yeah. How are you with this whole thing in Heat magazine, Weird Crush 2010? Do you know about this?
Yeah, the funny thing about that story was that I found out Michael McIntyre rang me up and said, I've whipped you, Howard, I've whipped you. I was, what are you on about? And he was also in the top 10 ahead of me. And but he pointed out we've both been beaten by the Stig, which does really slam you if you're not as attractive as a man with no face.
Yeah. I mean, how does this make you feel? Like it says, there's still time to vote for the celeb bloke you fancy, but really, really shouldn't. Who will you be crowding your Weird Crush 2010?
I know, yeah.
Now, there's much debate on the chat rooms about how you're not really a weird crush at all.
Well, the quote that was on it was, I have wonky eyes and manky teeth, but I seem like a nice guy.
Brilliant.
So there you go. That's something to be proud of, isn't it?
We've got till tomorrow to vote.
Mm.
So
heatworld.com/weirdcrush. Probably shouldn't have said that.
Vote for my granddad. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah.
I'll send you a photo of my granddad.
I don't think he's on the shortlist.
He's not on the list.
But also, Professor Green is on there. He's not. He's not an ugly bloke.
Munter was the word you were looking
for. A munter?
It should just be called the Munter list, let's be honest.
Chris Moyles is on there.
He shouldn't be on there either. I've never met him.
And the annoying singing man off the insurance adverts.
Howard.
No, the
Go Compare man is on there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Weird Crush.
Yeah.
Well, that's proper strange, isn't it?
That is weird, you see. Imagine having
Where's Gavin from Autoglass?
Imagine having sex with the Go Compare man. You'd just be humming the song.
No, people are having their breakfast.
But you would be humming it. Or just...
He would. You're right. It's 8:47. We're going to play another tune now. Let me find it. Hang on. And then we'll talk about your big tour, which is the biggest one you've ever done, ever.
That is right.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Russell Howard is here. Hi.
Hello.
And it's good because we're about 10 minutes in and you haven't fallen asleep yet.
I have not. No.
Like Mark Owen did yesterday.
Yeah, snoozing. Are they working hard?
Yeah, I think so. Also, we noticed that he had a coffee with 3 shots in it and he was still asleep. Incredible.
That's right. Apparently, as he was falling asleep, he was just going... Something terrible had happened.
Yeah, loads of people are imagining it now on their way to work. Go Compare. So tell us about this big arena tour you're doing then.
I'm doing 19 gigs in February in arenas and it should be fun and stuff. We get a truck that travels. The coolest thing about doing big, big gigs, and I had no idea about this, I'm quite naive, that... they set up, we have like a rig that sets up the entire room, but we also have dinner ladies.
You've got dinner ladies?
Fantastic. Yeah, we have our own like catering.
What, who hold your hand and stuff?
They can if you want. I don't know how you eat your dinner, but it was... just, I'm a bit nervous. Can you hold my hand? It was incredible. Like, so I got to hang out with 2 dinner ladies on tour. And they kind of made us food, like proper like home cooked like lasagna, shepherd's pie, looking after us. Incredible, yeah. So normally it's just like a crappy sandwich after a gig and we had dinner ladies.
You've got catering.
Yeah, exactly.
That is brilliant.
Well, yeah, I think most people say we've got catering, whereas I rocked up and went, we've got dinner ladies!
Now, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
You're off of Bristol.
I am off of Bristol.
I used to work there, and there was a bloke there that was a local legend. Right. And I just wanted to know if you are aware of this guy.
Okay.
This could go horribly wrong. It's a bloke called Brian Steele.
I don't know Brian Steele. I like the sound of him.
Well, he was. Do you know him as well?
I've heard of him. Does he voice his own adverts?
Yeah, he's one of those people that obviously runs a shop, but insists on being on his own adverts.
Right, yeah. So,
hello, I'm Brian Steele from Half Price Sweets.
Right, well, yeah, that rings a bell. Were you on GWR?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I do know.
Do you know him?
I don't know him, but I know of his ads. Yeah. They're incredible, aren't they?
Fed up for waiting 28 days delivery of your new suite? Not any longer.
Yeah.
This was years ago. I can still remember the ads.
What do you think of his amazing Bristolian accent?
Very good indeed.
But it's only that I can't actually do it. It's just generally the Brian Steele voice I can do because I can mimic the ads.
But that's
so
all
much.
You need to do, mate. I think the world would be a better place if we just had one day of everyone speaking in a Bristolian accent.
Bristol day.
Yeah, just relaxes you. All right, mate? Yeah, I'm not bad. You know, just rolling along. We do the rest of the interview like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you see Ian Holloway talking about Rooney on that note? Unbelievable. He's the most Bristolian man ever.
Yeah.
And he was going, it's unbelievable. And there was a moment where he wanted to swear about FIFA or UEFA, but he realised he was on telly and just goes, some complete person who decided that there, and he's honestly, watch it, it's well worth, he says the word wrong about 17 times. It's an amazing bit where he goes, FIFA, UEFA, I don't know who you are, I'm not calling them names, I'm just saying you're wrong. And just, I could listen to him for hours. I don't know, Brian Steele, maybe he's listening.
Steele. I think he runs another shop now. Look, we'll get loads of texts about this because he's all over the radio in Bristol still, not this radio but others. When I was in Bristol once with Justin Lee Collins, it was like he was royalty. Does that happen to you?
No, not as much.
Was it all right, Just? And he'd get like free taxis, trains he was on, free meals, everything was free.
Yeah. Not for me, no.
No?
No, well, Just is more kind of proper, no fall in Bristolian, whereas I don't sound like I'm from Bristol. I sound very
Did
much
you have
like
lessons?
I had lessons, yes. I'm Bristol, I'm leaving you. I have to change my ways. Where are you going? I've got to go to London.
London?
Will you come back? I will come back one day, Bristol. Don't get all fancy.
Does it come on much stronger when... Because I'm from the West Country as well, but does it come on much stronger when you're tired?
When I'm tired, yeah it's annoying.
And sometimes if you've had a drink.
When you hang out with your family as well. That's the worst thing, especially when you're a little bit drunk. It sort of proper comes out and then
but
you're
it
like,
does make
mate,
people
get
laugh,
a drink.
If you're speaking normally and then all of a sudden it pops out and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Quite
it's
like
nice,
it.
It's nice, isn't it?
With your tour... Mm-hmm. This worked quite well with Take That yesterday. They were asking the listeners who they thought should be on tour with Take That. So maybe, I mean, we could try and book you some kind of support act because it did work great with Take That yesterday.
Okay, right.
Is there anyone that you would quite like? Or
what, I'm allowed anyone?
Yeah, anybody. I mean, they were picking names out of thin air, weren't they?
Well, yesterday you were saying that you had Cheryl Cole's personal mobile number and you were going to sort that out for them. So I'm probably take it with a bit of a pinch of salt.
Right,
but if
okay,
you come up with an idea, then he'll try.
Okay, I wouldn't mind some of the, you know, the mad ladies with the dogs on X Factor. That'd be quite fun. Not on X Factor, Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, you do know him! The dog, the Gin, or whatever he's
Gin,
called.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes, you do know, didn't they, off, didn't, haven't you got her email address?
I have got her email.
Yeah, that one we could probably sort out.
All right, sweet, let's do that.
Okay, that's fine. All
Can right. we get her, like, dressed up in a sort of a dominatrix way? So that Gin looks terrified. She's wearing a whip, is that allowed?
whatever you want.
Sweet. Isn't Gin quite a diva, didn't they? Ask loads
that
of stuff
well.
That we couldn't provide or something.
I like quite like dogs that are like animals
like
that get diva-ish.
Really long rider.
Yeah. If any other dogs look at Gin, he has them destroyed. Yeah. That's what I heard.
So are you hoping to win that the weird crush poll tomorrow?
I'm hoping to win, no. I'm hoping that I won't be in it. That'd be good.
And also, there's loads of girls now going, he is not a weird crush. They're not all from Bristol.
Yep.
He is not a weird crush. He is gorgeous.
My mum's finger must be, she's just texting those over and over.
Yeah.
He's lovely. Send. He's great. Send.
When does your new series, A Good News, start?
It started last week. And yeah, it's the second show is on tonight at 10:30.
Need to iPlayer that.
Yeah, it's good, actually.
it looks like a lot of effort, that show. A lot of effort.
Good. Yeah. There's loads of effort. Hopefully people appreciate that. We just try and ram it full of jokes so that you can kind of watch it a couple of times because it's on BBC Three, so they play it about five times a week. So
people, it's always on.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So, we try and sort of cram it full of stuff.
And it's early next year, the tour, is it?
It is. It's in February. Okay. Yeah, should be fun.
Pretty much everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not doing gigs in Bristol, but I might do some more in sort of June, I think. But,
cool.
Yes.
Excellent. Russell, thank you so much for coming in
for
today.
Us, man.
That was Russell Howard on Radio 1. Good to see you again.
See you.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Right, here's the stuff. Feedback. Things you want to tell us. Questions you want to ask. That's what Dear Scott is for. It's just an email away and you could be read out by the posh Radio 4 lady. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's my email address.
Dear Scott Mills, disaster has struck upon the Surfin' Bird campaign. As the Bird is the Word for UK Christmas number 1 2010 to beat X Factor page reached 10,000 likes, the admin lost rights to post. The same happened with the original group and will happen to all the others eventually. Help! Thanks.
Oh no, is that the end of the campaign?
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. The bird, bird, bird. The bird's the winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird.
Didn't really understand half of that email. What did that mean?
It was a bit technical for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's Facebook terminology. I think basically with Facebook, once a group, like if it's an unofficial group, if it gets more than 10,000 people on it, they close it because then it's, you need to have like a proper group.
Well, so, someone should just organise a proper group then.
I thought this was your campaign.
Oh.
That's basically what they're saying is, why don't you put some effort in and make a proper one so that these ones don't keep getting shut.
All right, so effort required from me on this.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, though.
I thought you were all about Facebook now.
Well, yeah, I'd like it, but...
You managed to get your own page set up.
Someone will let me know how to do this, I'm sure. Christmas number one? I think so. But not if they're shutting down our groups. Right, I'll make sure that's my homework for today, right? Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, TOTDS and the PR4L. I was reading the BBC News because American news is rubbish. Shout out to Tulip.
Big up, Tulip. You're much better than American news.
And found a story that Becky would definitely be interested in. Remember when Becky said that she could not enjoy her meal if the music in the background was too fast?
Yes. Absolutely. For instance, this one, Alexis Jordan. Is this too fast to eat to?
Yes.
So it's not that fast.
No, all this right. Is too fast.
Okay, the script. She's all laid up in bed. That's fine.
Yeah, that's all right. I think it's like over a certain number of beats per minute.
I reckon this one would be fine as well to eat to.
No, it's a little bit too fast for me.
Anyway, carry on.
She may have a point. Researchers recently published a study in the Journal of Food Quality and Preference. Their research showed that the level of background noise affects both the intensity of flavour and the perceived crunchiness of foods. Louder noise reduced the perceived sweetness or saltiness, but increased the perceived crunch. So perhaps Becky does have a point. Gold star to Becky for being ahead of the curve. The research may go some way to explaining why airline food is maligned as bland. That's okay, Scott. I won't judge your taste in food, as I know you love meals on airplanes. Love you, Miriam, Los Angeles.
Take that back, Miriam. Airline food is anything but bland.
It's never bland. It's like the saltiest food ever,
isn't
it?
It's amazing.
I love it.
I love it.
I still think we should open a restaurant which only serves airline food and you can sit in like aeroplane seats and stuff.
Yeah, and you can have like that...
On the little tray.
That
with
really
the...
pleasing thing where you open the foil.
Yeah.
Oh,
the slightly
lush.
Stale bread roll.
Yes. When I came back from my holiday, I was so... Like, that was the thing I was looking forward to the most.
What did you get?
I got, it was a chicken option or a fish option. I went for the chicken. It was so amazing. People would go there.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. I really think so. That's what I'm going to do, I think.
Dear Scott, Becky, PR4L, and the one who doesn't speak, here's a question for you. I have noticed over the last few years on Coronation Street, nearly all the residents have cars. And when people are going out, their cars are magically parked outside their houses. But where do the cars live the rest of the time? Only Gail and the Websters have a garage. It's a mystery to me.
I'd never thought about this.
I once actually wrote into a TV guide asking the same question. I got the star letter too. But they just sent me a bunch of flowers, when really I just wanted my question answered. I have thought that maybe they all park on neighbouring roads. But when the title credits play, you can see an over-the-houses view, and no cars are to be seen.
True that.
I look forward to your thoughts. Hannah. From Beastly Eastleigh.
Yay, Eastleigh! Represent.
I've got no idea.
I don't know. See,
but
that's what I like.
I'm not going to send you any flowers either, I'm afraid.
No, but this is what I like about Dear Scott. People notice things and stuff that we just didn't even think about before. I like that. Where do all the cars go? Only Gail's got a garage.
And also, who's bringing them around the front? Have they got, like, some kind of, is it valet service where you, like, give them the keys and then they... That's it!
Valet parking in Coronation Street.
Have.
Just give us the keys. Wow. Anything else you've spotted from TV? Anything on the internet that you want to make us aware of? Or just a question you want to ask? That's what Dear Scott's here for. And when we do the Moyle Show, it's on a lot. It's on again tomorrow. So if you want to send me an email today with Dear Scott in the subject... Scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's my email. He'll blatantly get on tomorrow. See, now people will tell us where all the cars in Corrie go. Amazing. Someone says, hi guys, I'm actually working on Coronation Street tomorrow. If you like, I could make some discreet inquiries about the cars and report back. For obvious reasons, anonymous. Yeah, do that please. Thank you very much. Someone, well, this is Ellie actually, says, I think you'll find in Coronation Street there's a huge underground car park and there's a butler and they buzz him when they go in and out. Know that?
I didn't know. Is that why it's slightly cobbled?
Hmm.
Oh.
Wow. See, the stuff you learn on Dear Scott. Coming up, we have got the return of Stupid Street. Haven't done it for a few days. We go out onto the lamest road in Great Britain and ask them a question and see what they come up with. Today, who would you say is the greatest Australian ever?
Kylie Minogue? No, there has to be someone more exciting than... Mm. Kylie's really exciting, but there has to be a...
Crocodile Dundee. Who?
Steve Irwin?
Yeah,
he was amazing.
Really good. But what would they say on Stupid Street?
Who's your favourite Australian?
I like Danny Minogue.
Well, what makes Danny such a good Australian?
I don't know, like, she's really nice.
Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue.
Do you have a favourite Australian?
Danny.
Danny Minogue.
Yeah.
What makes her better than Kylie Minogue?
Men prefer Danny, boys prefer Kylie.
Out of all Australians ever.
My favourite Australian? Crocodile Dundee.
Kylie.
Kylie.
Yeah, Kylie.
Well, Danny Minogue. So who's your favourite Australian?
Carl Kennedy, whoever he is, because he's cute.
Oh, my... Harold's wife who died.
Marge.
Marge. She's my favourite Australian of all time.
Ever. Marge is Madge.
Who's your favourite Australian?
I can't think of anyone.
You can't think of any Australians?
No. Lucy, help.
Wait,
oh, okay. Is Kelly Brooks Australian? Kelly Brooks?
Kelly Brook?
Yeah, she? I don't know.
What makes you think she's Australian?
She sounds it. Yeah, she looks Australian.
Who is the greatest Australian of all time?
Kylie!
Yeah, love Kylie.
Lovely, thank you very much. So, who else do you think?
the crocodile hunter.
Steve Irwin?
Yeah, that's it.
So your top Australians are Steve Irwin and Kelly Brook.
Brooks.
Yeah, Australian, who do you think is the greatest Australian person ever?
Probably my grandma. My grandma, yeah.
Is she Australian?
No, Italian.
Oh. No, Australian, Australian.
No, I don't know anyone from Australia, sorry.
Who's your favourite Australian?
Kylie Minogue, definitely.
Kylie Minogue.
All I can think of is Kylie Minogue. Kylie Minogue.
What's so great about Kylie?
She's small. Oh, I really don't know. You're Australian, right?
Yeah, I'm Australian.
How long have you lived in Australia?
I've lived in Australia my whole life, so I'm 18, so 18 years. Yeah.
You don't know who the greatest is?
No, I don't know who the greatest is. Probably an actor. Probably someone like that, yeah.
Okay,
maybe Kylie. I'm trying to... Oh, I actually don't know. I'm so sorry.
Blow your nose.
Oh, I just don't know. I'm real sorry.
My favourite was that guy who was like, my grandma.
She's Italian. She's not Australian then. I like it also when people put an unnecessary S on the end of people's names.
Okay, is Kelly Brooks Australian? She looks Australian.
Are you really called Scott Mill then?
Scott Mill.
And you've just put an S on to make you sound better?
Yeah.
I never knew that about you.
I really enjoy it. Simon Cowell's. Kelly Brooks.
My grandma, yeah.
Is she Australian?
No, Italian.
Oh. He's my fave. So, Kylie... Blatantly far and away, closely followed by Danny, the greatest Australian person that has ever lived, ever, according to Stupid Street. That's not true. Everyone knows it's Alf Stewart, off of Home and Away. Glass.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.